Here inside the studios at KATE 1450, we're talking sports with you on KATE Radio. And while there's not a lot of sports going on around the world right now, we decided we'd take the opportunity to kind of look back at some of the sports figures from around the area past. And the one we have today in Dan Fredrickson is still involved with basketball, coaching now with the Cleveland Clippers over near Mankato. But before that was a player, and then after that coach for Glenville Emmons. And Dan, we thank you for taking some time to talk to us here just about your story with Glenville, and now we'll get into Cleveland as well. But first off, just how are you holding up right now? There's no sports going on, and I know everyone in sports is kind of just twiddling their thumbs to an extent because it takes up so much of our lives when you're such a fan of all this stuff. What are you doing to pass the time?
Yeah, I absolutely feel the same strain, I think, as everybody else, kind of rewatching all the old NCAA games, trying to get whatever fix you can there. I also coached softball in Cleveland, and we were coming into what was kind of setting up to be our best softball season and since I've been here for 8 years. And so that was kind of frustrating. We got a couple really good seniors on the team. Our pitcher and catcher have been starters for 4 years. They're, you know, really excited for the season and to have this kind of happen. It's been a little frustrating on that end for them. So.
What are you telling your girls right now? Because there still hasn't been any official cancellation of things, but the more this goes on, it looks more and more like if there is a season, it'll be really short and there's really no telling what will happen. What have you told your girls as this has gone on and as it's kind of progressed? How has that message changed?
Yeah, I mean, right away, you know, we kind of were holding out hope that, okay, maybe we'd be back, the end of April, something like that. Like you said, any shortened season would be amazing. I think any at-bats or any games at all would be amazing for these players for what they've put in. With that said, I mean, we totally understand the situation that you know, we're facing and everything like that. But, yeah, just individually as players, you know, it's frustrating for them, the time that they put in. We've really kind of grown the program the last couple of years. We finished second, first, and second the last couple of years in our conference. We've been in the top four in our section the last 3 years, and this is kind of our year to splash with the number of players we had coming back. So, as far as them individually and team-wise and for our fans, it's been kind of, you know, that's been kind of heartbreaking a little bit. But not only that, just those senior girls, some of them, you know, missing prom. I didn't understand how big of a thing prom was until I started coaching girls sports. And just missing prom and the potential of, you know, them missing out on a lot of things in their senior year that, you know, we've all had and, you know, we all cherish in our lives.
How long have you been involved with the softball team? Because I've done just a little bit of research to get ready to talk to you, but everything that I found was all basketball related. How long ago did you get into coaching the girls?
When I left Glenville, I got the head coaching job in Cleveland. I lived in Mankato. I moved to Mankato permanently in 2002, and that was the year I got the head coaching job in Glenville.
Mm-hmm.
So for 10 years, I drove 70 miles from Mankato to Glenville to coach one way. And in 2012, we were having our first child and just couldn't make that drive anymore. Applied for the head coaching job in Cleveland, got it. The softball job came open in the winter, applied for that, got that as well. So I've been doing that since 2012 as well.
Do you have a background in baseball, softball?
Yeah, a background in baseball, yeah.
Right.
Played baseball in high school, that sort of stuff. And just, you know, very knowledgeable with the game, but they had an opening. They were looking for help. I thought it was a situation I could help. We've done a pretty good job with growing the program. It's been a lot of fun. Definitely a lot different than coaching boys with the personalities. Sometimes can be more fun with the energy level that they bring. But, yeah, definitely been a very rewarding experience.
Well, you went into it a little bit there, and Dan Fredrickson joining us here on KATE Radio. But could you, before we just get started talking about the basketball side of things, give us a quick rundown of just your background all the way back to when you started playing with Glenville Emmons and even before that in what you have done with sports just around the area, and then you mentioned moving on to Cleveland too?
Yeah, when I went to school in Glenville Emmons, I was a three-sport athlete, played football, basketball, and baseball. I remember falling in love with basketball as kind of my first love as a sport at about fourth grade, and just something that I just absolutely loved. Always been a student of the game, even when I was a player, and had an opportunity when I was going to college in Austin, Minnesota, to come back and help out. I got asked to help out to coach the freshman team by the head coach at the time, Jeff Raymond, and came back to just kind of help out and thought, okay, I'll do this for a year. And it became one of the most rewarding things that I had in my life at the time. And just kind of, I always thought, you know, playing was the most fun. But being able to give back and watch the players grow and stuff that year, it was just something that I really gravitated towards, just fell in love with. And not only that, you know, it was kind of wanting to give back to, you know, players from that area that kind of went to the same park that I did, walked the same hallways that I did. It took a lot of pride in coming from Glenville and kind of really wanted to give back that way. And I did the B-Squad boys for 4 years there. We lost 6 games in 4 years, so we had really winning programs coming through. Had a stretch where we had won 30 B-Squad games in a row. And the head coaching job came available just as I had moved to Mankato, and I didn't think I was going to do it. And I ended up thinking, you know, I want to keep continuing giving back to my community. And I never would have left coaching there. But, you know, when we had our first child, that kind of really changes dynamics a lot. But a lot of wonderful memories of coaching Glenville. I still get things from coaches that had played those kids of just kind of how tough those kids were, kind of how the mindset, you know, how hard they played. And I think, you know, more than all the wins or losses or anything like that was just, you know, just the effort that those kids gave was awesome. And, yeah, I came to Cleveland in 2012. We've had lots of success here since I came here in softball and basketball, and it's just been a very rewarding experience.
You mentioned you played 3 sports when you were with Glenville Lemons, but all the way back in 4th grade, you knew basketball was the first love. What was it that kind of hooked you on that sport more than any of the others?
Yeah, it's hard to pinpoint. It was, I don't know, it was just something that I just, you know when you know. I mean, I just fell in love with it. I liked bouncing the ball. I was an active kid. It was something I could go out and, you know, do by myself. If there's not enough buddies around to hit balls with, not enough buddies around to play a football game with, I could always go out and shoot hoops. And my sister Amy, who works at the sports store in Dunham, she's assistant manager at Dunham's in Albert Lea. So get out and support your local sports stores. She always jokes that I was such a good shooter because she was my ball return at an early age. She would always get the ball and rebound it back out to me. So once in a while, I'd have a sibling out there with me. But most of the time, you know, I think it's something that, you know, like I said, I was an active kid. It was something I could kind of, you know, you can always kind of take the ball out there and shoot and practice dribbling. And it's something I just really love.
You were a captain point guard on Glenville Lemons as a player. You then just 2 years later, as you mentioned in college, come on as part of the coaching staff. Was that leadership kind of aspect always there for you? Did you always have coaching kind of on the mind after you finished playing?
I think so. I think in some capacity. I don't necessarily know that I was had it in the cards like 2 years after graduation. But, yeah, I always felt like any sport that we played was always kind of a natural leader on the floor, always understood the game, very analytical about it. Probably gave my coaches, Craig Raymond and Jeff Raymond, a little bit of a hard time sometimes of, hey, we should try this, you know, kind of a hard-headed kind of player once in a while. But, yeah, just very analytical about the game and just very knowledgeable, yeah, I think.
You mentioned that you had moved to Mankato right when you became the head coach at Glenville Lemons, too. Why, and you mentioned giving back to the community as well, but why make that trip back, that hour-long drive for so long, so often, to go back home and be a part of that team?
Yeah, that was just kind of, like I said, kind of falling in love with the program, taking a lot of pride in growing that program. Glenville Lemons had not really been much of a basketball program. We had 2 winning seasons prior to me coaching there since they became Glenville Lemons. One of the teams I'd played on, another team we had, I was assistant coach for, and I'd coach those guys when they were in B-Squad coming up. It was the year right before I became the head coach. And just kind of wanting to instill that winning mindset to those kids in the community where I grew up. And we ended up being very successful Had some very good winning seasons. I think we had won either 6 or 7 of the 10 years we had winning seasons. We won Glenville Emmons' only conference championship. We had came in second to Spring Grove a bunch of times, and 1 year finally took them down. But yeah, it was wanting to give back to the community. It was falling in love with the gym that I had played in. Like I said, wanting to coach kids in the hallways that I walked in school, and I think we all, kind of sometimes feel a draw to kind of where we came from. And at the time, yeah, it was a sacrifice. It was 70 miles home one way to practice, 70 miles back. We played in the Southeast Conference, so we'd get on a bus and drive over Spring Grove or Lanesboro, get back to Mankato at 1. So, I mean, there was a lot of long days and nights, but just the kids made it all worth it. Wonderful kids, hard workers. They could be coached hard. I think when I first started coaching, I was a very coached the game very hard, very upfront with players, tough with players, and those kids really, really accepted it. Had to kind of change coaching styles a little bit over the years. Everybody talks about, times getting different and everything like that as you get older. So I'll have kids that I coach at Glenville, they'll come to games and, they're like, you're just a little bit different now. You're different now, and maybe a little more mellow. And I don't know if that's with age or with having a family and kids, but I always appreciated how hard those kids could coach, or how hard you could coach those kids, how hard they could be coached. And, so it was the kids. The kids brought me back. The community brought me back. And just the love for where I came from.
Well, you've explained that it's obviously was worth it for you, but those long nights, just night after night, did it ever take a strain on just your life outside of basketball day to day?
Yeah, I think it did. I think it did, looking back, for sure. There was things I missed out on, things, as far as that goes. And, yeah, just mentally draining, mentally wearing. The end of the season would be hard, after going through that, but always well worth it. Always, the end, the appreciation I got from the kids and the players and people in the community and stuff like that was always amazing. So it was always well worth it. I remember kind of growing up as a kid, and Glenville was in Sports Illustrated, I believe in 85 or 86, for one of the longest losing streaks in the history of college, or history of high school football. And they came and did a big article. I remember people getting really excited for this article. I remember going down to Don's Food Market at the time in Glenville and getting the Sports Illustrated and opening it up. My mom read it to me when I was in about fourth grade. And everybody was excited for this article, but to me it was all about losing. And I didn't like that. I remember telling my mom as a fourth grader, that's going to change when I get up there. When I get up there, that's going to change. And my senior year, we hosted the first home playoff game in Glenville history since 1971. So it was kind of wanting to change that mindset, and I felt that coming through, with the basketball program, was wanting to give the area a really sense of pride in a program maybe we hadn't had outside of softball programs in the early 80s and some of our baseball programs, but wanting to give, kids an opportunity to have the program maybe I never had the chance to play in, maybe some other guys didn't have a chance to play in, and just really, really grow that program.
I read something from when you first started at Cleveland, talking about just how you weren't trying to just have success, but build a program from down at the lowest ranges, first, second grade, all the way up to varsity, and you had that experience coaching it, starting out at ninth grade B squad levels and then moving up to varsity later on. What do you think is the biggest key to building that, getting that interest in the lower levels of the game so that it can hopefully grow into success later on?
Yeah, and I have that's a very interesting question. And there's the one way I look at it, and I've had people kind of ask me and talk to me about some of that similar before. And I come from Glenville where, like I said, before I started coaching there, not much winning tradition. When I came to Cleveland, you're talking zero winning tradition. We had, up till last season, we had just kind of won our third straight conference championship in a row in the Valley Conference. We built a very winning culture here at Cleveland. When I came here, numbers were not very good. And you see that kind of with some programs across the state where the numbers aren't very good and you have kind of losing programs. So kids like winning, and they like to be associated with winning programs. So it's kind of a catch-22 because in order to win, you have numbers, but in order to get those numbers and capture those numbers, you need to win too. So there was a lot of emphasis on winning. When I came to Cleveland, we did a kind of a complete overhaul of the program. I went to board meetings and had a lot of arguments with administration about the way the program had been run in the past, the way that I was going to take over the summer program and run that a certain way. And it was nice. Had a lot of support for the ideas that I had, and we've had a lot of success since. But there are no shortcuts. That's the big thing. You know, you have to put in the work, you know. And a phrase, you know, we kind of talk to our players about too is, you know, if you have an axe and you have eight hours to chop down a tree, you know, I think as Abraham Lincoln had said that, he's going to spend 6 hours sharpening that axe. You know, you're not going to go in there and just start, I'm going to hack down the tree. You want to make sure your tools are sharp. So as far as practicing, that's, you know, practicing hard, practicing in the summer, practicing longer, playing. If teams in the summer are playing 30 games, we're going to play 50 games. That sort of thing, that sort of mentality of whatever anybody else is doing in order to kind of create, shorten that talent gap, we're going to do more. And that was kind of the mindset early on here when I came to Cleveland.
Is there anything after having the experience coaching that you could go back and tell yourself as a player to kind of get yourself to understand a little bit more about that relationship between coach and player, how to build a team, things like that?
To tell myself as a player, I think, you know, just be a little more patient. Like I said, I remember times thinking as a player, I was always right. And there are a lot of times looking back, like, no, you know, our coaches did do the right things. They did have us, you know, prepared the right way. I look for how fundamentally skilled we were and how that came just through our work and practice every day. So as far as that, that'd be the answer on that, I guess.
And I guess same kind of vein, and again, Dan Fredrickson joining us here on Kate Radio. If there's someone who's either fresh out of college or maybe like you were still in college and getting into coaching, what would be your advice to them?
Yeah, you know, the big thing is just be yourself, I think. You know, kind of let your own, I think everybody, you know, gets, you know, into coaching and the reference, I guess, when I was getting into it, you want to be like Bobby Knight, you know, you want to be this, you know, dynamic coach, you know. But you need to coach your own personality. You need to have a really good relationship with your players. Some players, they need to be motivated in a different way than others. There was a time when I treated everybody exactly the same, and what was right to motivate player A maybe didn't resonate with player B. So it's just having those personal communications with your players. Get to know them. Talk to them about things other than just basketball or other than just softball. Know what's going on in their lives. Let them know that you care. And at the end of the day, as coaches and teachers, we're all there to just to make a difference in these kids' lives and definitely give back to something that has been rewarding to us.
Well, that's Dan Fredrickson, former player and coach at Glenville Emmons, now over with the Clippers of Cleveland. And, Coach, we thank you again for taking a couple of minutes just to tell more about your story and get some of your insight into what you're doing now in Cleveland up there. We appreciate your time, and, of course, we'll be keeping an eye on the success that you guys have had over the past years and going into the future as well. Thanks again for taking the time to talk to us, and we'll talk again sometime in the future, I'm sure.
Yeah, thank you so much, and also, I coach in Cleveland. That's north of Mankato. I still come back to get my trophies done from Tiger City Sports, Tom Jones, Jordan. They do an amazing job over there. So, like I said with Dunham's, make sure you guys are getting out and supporting, you know, local stores. And yeah, that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Yes, definitely, especially now. Support those local businesses. And thanks again, Dan. We appreciate the time.
Thank you so much.